And welcome to my monthly forum call with Dr. Pat Williams, founder of the Institute for Life Coach Training. And we're going to do a live coaching session with also a debrief and critique at the end of it. So we have a client who's volunteered for today. And before we get going, I want to be sure that it's okay with the person that volunteered that we're recording. If not, we won't record it. So
it is.
Okay. And do you mind if we use your first name for this call since you're one of our students?
Not at all.
You don't want to have an alias or anything today, huh?
No, I'm fine.
Okay. All right. So this is Iris. Where are you calling from, Iris?
I am calling from Toronto, Canada.
Toronto. All right. You made this an international call. Thank you. So you and I have never met, and Ellen told me you volunteered for this, so I thank you. I think something that ILCT should do more, and in fact more coaching schools should do more, is have the courage to have their senior coaches demonstrate coaching more. Let me just say a few opening things, and then what I'm going to do is pretend like you and I are having what I call with my clients a discovery session. Like maybe you've agreed to be my client, you've seen the welcome packet, we've talked, might have even done a sample session, but we're going to do kind of a discovery session, probably 20 or 30 minutes, and then we'll go from there on whatever it is you're bringing to the coaching opportunity. Does that sound good?
That sounds great.
Iris, I appreciate you volunteering for this, and we're going to try to make this a discovery call and want you to have something that you really, really want coaching on. Now, this will be, you know, a compressed session. If you and I had our first session, it might be 45 minutes to an hour. After that, sometimes with my clients, depending upon their needs, they become 30-minute sessions, 40-minute sessions, 60-minute. It's whatever we agree on. My clients usually get 2 to 3 hours a month with me, and we break that up however they want to in the fee. It can be 3 40-minute calls or 2 1-hour calls or 3 1-hour calls if they want to go for the platinum version. And then after people are making good progress and they seem to just need a little velvet boot, as I call it sometimes, 30 minutes might be enough. So I want you all to know you can be flexible with that. And then after the call, we will go into any live questions people can ask, and I've also got some written questions that people sent in. So, Iris, let me begin by we can't really assume you've gotten my welcome packet, so let's just say this is kind of like a sample session. You've heard about me, you thought you might want to coach with me, and so this is going to be a sample session of how I work and how it might be for you. So tell me what got you to volunteer for this moment. What is it you'd like to get out of our time together today?
I would like to, did you want to know specifically what I wanted to address or what my goal is?
If those are different, address them both. But, yeah, maybe
right.
So it sounds like you're talking about a larger goal and then specifically today what you'd like to get. Is that right?
Yeah. So,
okay.
Well, what I'm going to bring into this call is I am working with a lot of couples and doing couple coaching, and I'm also looking to expand what I do with them, which is to look more at the physical intimacy piece.
Mm-hmm.
I'm reading this book by David Schnark, which talks a lot. It's called The Intimate Marriage. And it talks a lot about, and I can see it, how the sexual piece between a couple is a microcosm of what's really happening in their lives, their emotional lives. And as much as I can ask what I'm going to call the superficial questions, frequency, quality, cuddling, what else would you like? Going any deeper than that, I actually feel uncomfortable. I feel like I'm a voyeur in what I think is the sacredness of sexuality between two people. And I guess I'd like to get some insight as to how to either reframe that, maybe see where that's coming from, how to look at it differently so that I have a greater comfort level, because I realize that this is a crucial piece in working with couples.
Okay, so let me see if I heard that right. First of all, I'd like to ask, are you doing this in the role as a therapist, marriage and family counselor, or as relationship coaching?
It may be one or the other, depending on where they're at. like in some couples at the beginning, where it'll be more coaching. Sometimes I have to put on my therapist hat.
Well, so when they come to see you, are they signing up with you as a therapist who uses coaching skills, or are they asking for coaching and you're not, you know, you're not diagnosing or calling it counseling or therapy?
I would say that a lot of them come in for coaching, and then, well, first of all, I'm not diagnosing anyways. But
okay, so you're not, that's right, you don't bill insurance in Toronto, I forgot.
Well, we do in a different way. Like, we're, as psychotherapists, we're actually not registered.
Mm-hmm.
So we're actually not covered under benefit plans in Ontario yet, or probably Canada, I think.
Well, the reason I'm asking is I'm trying to make sure that, I mean, it's okay, whichever, if you're a client that's providing therapy, that's okay with me, and you can still use coaching skills. But I want to be very clear that you're not calling something coaching and actually doing psychotherapy.
Mm-hmm.
So it sounds to me like you clarify that with each couple.
Yes.
Okay. All right. So either way, we'll assume that you're being ethical in that. They understand what they're buying and getting, and all of it is to improve the intimacy and the sexual relationship of couples. Is that accurate?
Yeah, I would say a lot of them come in to improve the emotional piece.
Oh, sure, right.
And then the sexual or physical intimacy is something that often comes up later in sessions.
Yeah, yeah. So they're coming in to feel more closer, more intimate, more connected. Those are my words, but does that fit for you?
Yeah, less fighting.
Okay.
Less fighting, less power struggles.
Okay. So let me tell you a little bit about, since you're engaging me the first time as a coach, the way I work and the way you might experience me, I will have moments where I try to, in this brief experience we have of, say, 30 minutes, I'll really listen. I may have to listen quicker, though, than I do with regular sessions. And I also tend to be somebody who can get pretty engaging with questions so that it may seem like I listen and clarify and listen and clarify a little quick. So it depends on your take. If I'm missing something or if I seem to lose what you were saying, please let me know. It's my goal for you to really feel heard and for us together to come up with what you wanted in the short term, and that is to get some new, a deeper look or a different look at how to perform what you do as a coach slash counselor with couples when you get into the sexual aspects of their relationship. Is that accurate?
Yes.
Okay. So what would you most want today? You've started that, but say it again and see if there's more to that. What would you most want about out of our time today?
I think what I would like is a reframe. I would imagine that the way in which I am viewing sexuality as a sacred act between two people, and that for me to get involved as a coach is almost violating that sacred connection, even though I have permission. I would just like to maybe be able to reframe that in a way that would give myself permission to be able to deal with actually at least asking questions in that realm, to dig a little deeper to see what is going on in that area.
Okay. Well, there's a number of questions that come to mind out of my curiosity, and I guess the one that I think about the most, and these are just questions. It's not, well, I mean, I'm not sure where this is going to go, but I'm curious as to what makes you think you need to know the details.
I guess I'm following the model that I'm reading in this book where I see the questions that he asks them reveal how they interact on an emotional level in their relationship outside of the office.
Okay. And you find yourself, I think the word you used was feeling uncomfortable with, like a voyeur when you get into the details. Are you talking about details of the sexual act, expression of their intimacy through sex?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, Yeah, my curiosity as your coach is, if you hadn't read David Snark's book, do you think you could still help couples understand their intimacy and emotional connection without those details?
Yes, and or but.
Uh-huh.
Based on what I read, I feel like what I've experienced in the book is almost a shortcut to the dynamics going on in their relationship.
Yeah, so it may get to, may not be this expression, but it may help couples get to the elephant in the room or to get to the questions that aren't being asked that need to be asked.
Yeah.
So here's a thought. Is there any other way you could get the information that you want to get to differently than asking them in the moment? Or is that the way you ask them? Would you ask them in a session, tell me about your sex, tell me about your intimacy, what that's like, what you do, et cetera?
Okay, so let me tell you that in this book, he talks about doing a exercise, hugging till relaxed, and what that gives the coach an access to is to see who reaches for who first, who lets go first, how are they leaning in, who holds on more, so that it becomes a physical manifestation of what's going on in their relationship without having to ask an hour's worth of questions so that you can dig out, you know, who's doing what in the relationship. It actually shows up in the room itself.
Oh, okay. Okay, so part of my question that you may have heard, and then I didn't hear your response, is there other ways you can get the information you need from them other than asking them in the room? And I guess what I was getting at is, do you ask them in writing? Do you have them fill out informational questionnaires? Do you have them give you details in writing? Do you interview them individually as opposed to together? Give me a sense of that.
So I don't do anything in writing. In between sessions, they do get homework. After I've met with them as a couple at first to be able to connect with both of them, then I'll suggest I may meet with each of them once or twice. One-on-one.
Okay.
So yes, I could, but my sense is that takes, it seems to me that it takes longer to do it the normal talking way rather than to have it either demonstrated through the hug or to talk about their sexual dynamics.
Okay, so that's helpful. You want it to be in vivo, in the room, with both of them present, to have them experience and demonstrate in a way that the metaphor of their sexual life starts with that hugging exercise.
Yes.
Okay. So where do you get stuck? If that's the right word, or where do you get cautious, or what is the word you'd say there?
So I know that there's been a couple couples that I've worked with where I've wanted to say, you know, I'd like to do this exercise of hugging, and I have the thought that this is private. I shouldn't be privy to this part of their life.
And do you think that with all couples, or did you think that just with these one or two?
I think I've only brought it into session in my mind, at least, with a couple couples. But I would say it would be fairly generic. I don't think it's a reflection of the couples, but rather a reflection of how I feel about the privacy or sacredness of sexuality.
You know, I love the way you state that, and I wonder if you're communicating that to the couple. So I love the way you talk about the sacredness and the, what was the other word you just said? The
privacy
of the sexual relationship. And I wonder if you state that to the couples you're working with as a way of introducing what you're even going to do with them.
I don't, but you know what? That's given me a whole breakthrough.
Wow.
Because I have this whole conversation in my head that I'm not sharing with them. And as much as I ask for permission, I don't actually express my view on how I see things, which may maintain that sacredness for them, but allow them to take it to another level.
Good. Because at the very point you expressed to me what you wanted coaching on, and you were so clear and eloquent, about it. You use those words, privacy and sacredness, and I went, okay, this is good. I mean, you really, you know, if you were seeing couples and express that language, I think it, to me, I mean, even for me, it sets a context for what it is you want. It's a lot different than saying, all right, so we're going to find out how you guys do sex, or I want to see how you hug each other and learn from that. You know, I mean, it's just, it's more sacred on your part. The way you treat it, touch it, the language that it's going to help them with their expression, I'm guessing, and so I'm talking too much right now. So let's go back to your breakthrough. what do you think you'll do different?
Yeah, you know, I get it now. It's I can actually verbalize how what my view on couplehood is, sexuality is, to allow them, and I'm not sure if that's the right word, to express to them that I am not trying to kind of wedge my way into something that's normally kept, you know, very hush-hush between two people, but to, what's the word I'm looking for, to honor what they have and to ask permission to be able to assist them to take it up another level.
Okay, another great phrase. It's just I'm almost wanting to ask you, if you had a couple in the room right now, so you had a couple you were going to introduce this topic to in this new way that you've just got illuminated by, so let's just take a minute or two to say, what would you say to this couple in a way that you're going to introduce this topic of intimacy and sacredness and where you want to go next?
All right, so what I would say is we've met for a couple sessions, and I've got some information from you. Where I would like to go now, and I'm going to ask your permission in just a moment whether it's okay with you, is I would like to talk about the physical intimacy in your relationship, but first I want to explain to you my view on intimacy. And the way that I see it is sexual or physical intimacy between two people is a very sacred, private thing that the two of you share that really makes it very special. And so one of the things that I've learned in my work is that the physical intimacy is often just a reflection of what's going on in your emotional intimate world. So if you'd be comfortable with it, I would like to ask you some questions about what goes on in your physical intimacy. Would that be okay with you?
Okay. So as you heard yourself say that, is there anything you'd change about what you just said?
I'm always about getting the script perfect, so I'd probably go over to my head and go, did I say that right? Oh, could I have said something
different?
Yeah.
Well, I think you said it. Yeah, I think you said it pretty clear, but I asked that question to make sure that you, you know, I mean, you kind of did that coming out of spontaneity of really the confidence and the competence you have in talking about this subject. I thought it was beautiful.
Okay,
and
thank you.
the key things I heard was you also asked permission. You even told them you were going to get to permission. You told them what you were going to talk about. The only thing that may be missing, this is just my thinking, that you don't, it's not necessarily what you should do, it's just the idea that popped up from your discourse, is would you also allow them to choose not to respond or not to go that way?
As part of their permission or as part of a particular question?
Yeah, I mean, it like in other words, you'd say, and if there's any questions you do not want to answer, please let me know, or something like that.
Yeah, and I actually do that on my intake. If
okay.
We go to an area you don't want to talk about, you're free to say skip, and I'm okay with that. But it might be great when we're going to the sensitive area, because most people get a little weird when you start to talk about sexuality. To let them, give them a second permission that if they don't want to go there or they don't want to answer anything specific, that I'm okay with them just skipping
that. Yeah, and I think you might. In fact, I'd ask you this. Is there a way that even if they said no at that point, you can ask them, is there any way that you could make them more comfortable or they just want to say no? Because I understand it may be a rock that they're coming up against or nervousness or whatever, so you don't need to say, oh, okay, that's fine. It's like, let's be sure. Is there a way that we can make it comfortable enough for you to explore this?
I'm not sure what the words are, but I think what I'd want to do is to explore what had them say no. So I don't necessarily need the answer to be yes.
Right. That's beautiful. That's the best way to go. That's a perfect way to do it. Can you help me understand what made you say no? And that's it. You're not pressuring them or anything. Okay. All right. So then you've got this new way of describing what you might do with couples. How are you in this moment? Are you you have a little lightness about you? Do you have a little?
I'm excited.
Yeah.
Give me the couples now. I'm ready.
Okay. And how would you be with the couples? I mean, how is your personality? You had that lightness and that laughter and that big smile I just heard. I mean, I can almost see your face. Would you be that way also with a couple? Where you kind of normalize and talk of sexuality? Is it okay to explore this? And it's even, you know, it's a little, sometimes a little giggly, sometimes a little tense. I mean, how would you be in describing this to the couples?
I would use it probably exactly those words. I think I need to normalize that sometimes, you know, couples get nervous or they get tense or they get giggly,
yeah.
And it's all normal. And I think that's got to be part of what I say as I introduce our, you know, move into this area. So I think that's really important to normalize it, because I feel giggly as a coach talking about that sometimes.
Yeah, great. And so then what happens next?
I'm not sure what that question means.
Well, actually, what happens next here is kind of what happens next with a couple. What would you do now that you have a better description of how to engage the couple in this conversation? What else would be different? Or what else do you want to be different?
I think the only thing comes up for me is I just want to write this out so I know the different components. I don't necessarily need a script, but the
right.
that I need to address. So that
mm-hmm.
I'm clear with it,
mm-hmm.
And then I'm ready to use it this week.
Great. Wonderful. So for me to go a little deeper, wider, whatever it is, as a coach, I sometimes also ask some other things that I think are important that I've learned in this last few months for me, is if I were understanding you more, like what you bring to this profession, what gets you to be this helper, this coach? Is there anything about your culture, your background, your selfness that you would share with me as an insight into why you do what you do?
So I guess the piece around sexuality is I've done a couple tantra courses. And I can see the, I'm not sure what the word is, the addition, the shift, the transformation those courses have done in owning my own, what I call the temptress, the seductress part of a woman, and how that's impacted me. And I want to be able to do that for couples, not necessarily that's the piece, but whatever piece, just, you know, the way I see it is that, you know, tumblers falling into a lock would help them unlock the sacred sexuality between the two of them so that they can have full expression of who they are and have fulfillment.
Right, right. So what I just heard, and I think it's important, is the reason you do this work and the reason you even take a topic that probably a smaller percentage of coaches and helpers would do is because you also experience your sacred feminine or your sexuality in a way that I don't know what word you used, open yourself up, increase your consciousness, awareness about your femininity, et cetera. And now you think it's a gift that can be utilized in your work with couples.
Yes.
Okay. Okay. I think those words must come from you.
Was that clear?
I
like those words that you used. You use sacred feminine. It's like, oh, yes, I like that.
Well, see, I think this is one of those examples in coaching, even by phone. I think those words came from you. I was just like, they were just coming through me. So that was really like, whoa, did I say that? Okay. Is there anything else you need in this moment?
I am good. I'm smiling from ear to ear. I'm really good.
Okay, let's do this as a wrap the bow around it. So what are you going to do? What are you taking away? And what are you going to put into action and do based on our conversation today?
All right, so what I'm going to do is, first of all, kind of write out what the essential points are that we talked about. Kind of, it's a reframe for me. I understand where this is coming from and why I'm going down this road with couples, you know, and I've been doing this work for years as a coach and as a therapist, and I don't necessarily go down the sexuality piece in very much depth. So it's given me some clarity as to why am I choosing to do this now? Why did I pick up this book now? What is it that's getting me stuck, which is the lack of creating context to a conversation or a topic that many people are uncomfortable with, and I am creating sacred space around it the way that we do, you know, with coaching sessions, but I'm doing it in the realm of sexuality and giving them permission to say yes, no, or no to any topic they don't want to address, and really understand what it's done for me in my life and the kind of gift that I want to give them.
Okay, so your to-do from that was beautifully said, is to kind of write that up and make notes from this and read them and do them? Is that what all that said? Okay.
Yes.
So great. So let's have a second thing. What are you going to do differently based on this conversation?
I'm not sure if this is what you're asking for, but I almost see this. I'm very visual. I see me holding out kind of a sacred bowl to put this in for the couples. So I start to view it differently.
Well, I didn't know I was asking for that either, because I was only asking a question out of curiosity, but I love that. I think that's another way. I mean, I would like that if my wife and I were seeing you and we're having this, like, all of a sudden there's a container for the love, for the intimacy, for the whatever. There's a sacredness to that. So that may be a style that you incorporate. I love it.
Oh, I just got goosebumps with all that. I was like, ooh,
yeah.
I like that.
Okay. That's a good sign. And then one more thing I always like to ask my clients, because people are always up to things and they wonder what's going to happen, and so it'd be like, what are you going to do for you? What's something you're going to do in the realm, like, of extreme self-care or something that nurtures you also before we talk again?
I'm going to dance.
Wow. Say more about that, like right now, tonight?
That is my sacred feminine. I'm on a dance performance team, but dancing feeds my soul, and it's about sacredness and spirituality. Dance freely and allow all this to integrate into me and dance into my office.
Beautiful, beautiful. All right. Well, is there anything else you need for us to feel closed before we feel closure here?
Absolutely not.
Okay. Well, thank you, Iris, for volunteering. And we're both going to stay on the line, and then we can try to let's do this way. If people have questions or comments to me or to Iris, just unmute *6, ask your questions. If there's too much noise for some reason, we'll try to hear it, and then you can unmute yourself. So my question is, what did you hear? What did you like? What did you not like? Or what was helpful? What wasn't helpful? This is to the audience, not so much you yet, Iris. What did people notice? What was the experience of listening to this session? Well, while we're waiting for somebody, let me say what I put myself. Oh, okay. Who's this?
Oh, well, hi. This is Irene in Salt Lake City.
Hi, Irene. Just
going to say that it was a pleasure to listen to this. One of the things I noticed was how natural this conversation sounded about a topic that's probably one of the most uncomfortable topics people have, you know, on the docket to discuss, and your questions just seem so comfortable and you know, relaxed in addition to being powerful, you know, they didn't seem forced, I guess. So I appreciated
yeah.
that. That was
thank
striking.
You. Yeah, and on that note, I did catch myself asking a few yes or no questions in there, but I realized what I was doing is still getting some information, so it was kind of data checking. So it's you'll catch yourself doing that from time to time. You can't always stay in that powerful question mode, but good powerful questions followed by silence or deep listening also gain some powerful answers, which we got. I always like to be surprised too. So let me just state, and we'll hear some more questions, that what I always, always attempt to do, and I'm not just demonstrating for you, but even for my clients, is coaching is a very unique conversation. It's probably not something they even have with their intimate partner, friends, or relatives. And I say, if you've got a good listener in your life, great, but coaching is different. And here's how it's different. I'm focused on you. I'm listening to you with a focus for what you want, what's emerging. And I'm also trying to create a presence, as I stated to her, even though we had a compressed session, trying to state a presence where I'm focused. I don't have any interruptions. I kind of meditated prior to this session to be ready and to be a vehicle, which coaching is. And then I maintain that a lot of coaching is being curious, being authentic. And if you start with that, the last part of the session is just clarifying what's happened and asking the client for some commitment. Curiosity is what feeds coaching, because that also helps you suspend any judgment, which is why this was so comfortable to talk about. I could probably talk to people about anything unless they were a serial killer. I wouldn't want to have that conversation. But so anybody want to respond to what they – did they hear that, or did they sense that in the coaching, that authenticity and presence focus? Who's this?
Hello?
Yes, who's this?
This is Lauren from Fort Campbell, Kentucky.
Hi, Lauren. What did you want to say?
Oh, I just want to say that I really did sense that throughout your conversation. I'm actually just starting out on my coaching classes, and I found it really authentic that you guys had that discussion. It sounded really natural. You know, it sounded like you'd almost known her prior to that. I thought you were really observant, and she was really very responsive. But sometimes when I've done a little bit of coaching on the side, and I do have sometimes some of my clients will close up a little bit, and I'm wondering if there's any way I could get them just to kind of open up a little bit more for me, because I have some clients that'll just, it's almost like a little off switch. They'll turn off, and I'm like, okay, well, this is a little awkward. And, you know, we'll move past it. But, you know, sometimes I just want to use their time more wisely, because I'm like, you are paying for this hour. You know what I'm
saying?
Do
you coach live or by phone? Well, phone or live. Do you coach in person or by phone?
It actually depends.
Okay.
I coach.
So both.
Sometimes I coach internationally. And so it's on the phone, and it's a little bit more rare. I do coach, you know, face-to-face, which is much easier for me. I just find myself just to be a little bit awkward on the phone. I'm not sure why.
Okay.
You know,
so
I was wondering how you moved past that.
Well, here's the short answer is recognize, I mean, a lot of coaching is being self-aware, like in the moment. Like if you just said something you want to take back, say, you know, let me say that a different way. Let me run that tape back. Because we're not perfect. I mean, even a masterful coach, whatever that is not masterful all the time. Or, you know, you're not perfect all the time. Or you may not join with your client in a way you wanted to. So use that. So if you say something like, you know, that seemed to throw you off track. Or I get a sense that didn't land. Is there something else that would be a different question? Or can you describe to me how you're experiencing what I just asked? So, in other words, don't step over it. If you notice it, because you could be wrong, but you still say, you know, I'm just feeling like we kind of got off track there. Maybe it's just me. And they may say, oh, no, that was great. Or they may say, yeah, I kind of felt a little off-putted off-putting by that. You go, okay, super. Let's rewind this and try it again. Because that's okay. That's part of being authentic. You know, you're not supposed to be perfect. You're not supposed to have, you don't have all the answers. In fact, you don't even know what questions to ask. That's why they're called powerful. You don't know the answers to them either. Is that helpful?
Yes.
And I think phone coaching, you can certainly pick up energy. I mean, I prefer it over face to face for real mm-hmm. connected coaching for me. But either way, I mean, I will say my experience with Iris, having never known her, and in this brief moment, is I feel I've gotten into her space a little bit in a very good way.
Okay.
Really.
Thank you for clearing that up.
Yeah, you're welcome. So, Iris, let's take some time to get some feedback from you. What was that experience like, and what did you notice about the coaching demo skills?
What was that experience like? I didn't hear the second half.
The second part was, and what about the skills? Like, if you looked at it as a client rather than you're in the moment, what was it like? What did you notice in that coaching?
So I was trying to listen from two hats. One, as, you know, a first-time client, what am I hearing? And a lot of what I heard, which was very good for me, is what I like to do as a coach is, you know, take this a little deeper. Or it's like, so this is what I can expect from you should I decide to hire you or in the future calls. So it actually clarified for me what your style would be and whether that would work for me.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It's also a way to almost ask me for permission to go a little deeper.
Right.
So I think, did you need to say something?
No, well, I was just thinking that the lesson for the listeners here is if you and I had not connected, I might have done an okay demo, but it may be not only are you deciding if you're going to hire me as a coach, but I'm also deciding if I want you as a client.
Right.
You know, if this is the first discovery session, there may be coaching that's effective, but you may not be my kind of client. There may be kind of a disconnect, but I might be able to refer you to exactly the kind of coach you need. So that's also being of service. If you can, if you know that to be true. But the first session is also, I mean, this was the sample session. If you felt there was an opportunity and you wanted to hire me, then I think it's always learning as we go, the first 3-4 sessions with a client, because I'm still getting to know them better, they're getting to know me better, and I always, in every session, at some point during the call, say, is this working for you? Let's just take our pulse. Are we on track? Is this being helpful? So during every conversation, that ask at least once or twice.
Yeah, and I think the other thing was it also kept reminding me, especially if I'm somebody who hasn't experienced coaching before, that this isn't just a conversation or a dialogue with a friend.
Right. I make that distinction. That, in fact, I sometimes use the word sacred or inspirational because that's a little more neutral in case somebody's not. That sometimes the word sacred can be touchy to people that confuse it with religious. So I might say, you know, this is meant to be an inspirational conversation, a safe. Some people might say sacred, but it's a unique conversation that's deceptively simple. You know, there's good listening, there's good rapport, there's clarity, but it's very different when it's focused just on you from somebody trained to be a coach.
And you kept reminding me of that every time you say, well, one of the things that I like to do with my clients is.
Mm-hmm.
So you're still speaking from coach and reminding me that it's not a friend that I'm speaking to.
Yeah, you know, that's an interesting observation because I think I do that with my real clients, not my practice clients. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm always letting you know the way I work in coaching or what I like to do with clients is. So they're understanding why I'm actually contextualizing the way that you came up with the sexuality. It's in context.
Mm.
Yeah, that's great. That's good learning for me.
Well, and
go ahead. I'm sorry.
I was going to say, there's a couple more things I wanted to say. In my experience in working with some clients, when I've worked with them for a long time, sometimes it gets very comfortable and I walk away feeling like this was like a conversation between friends. It didn't feel coaching enough, or at least what I define coaching enough. And if I started to use, you know, one of the things I like to do with my clients is is a reminder that this is a coaching conversation, not a friendly
right.
discussion with a friend.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. I've got a little reminder on my wall in my office, actually. It's a very very esoteric piece of wisdom. It's written on a 3M sticky note, and it says, remember, shut up and listen. Because I have a new client particularly that it almost fills the hour with talking, and I've only had 3 sessions with him, but I've already decided the next time I'm going to write him an email prior and ask him if we can spend the first few minutes just quieting and becoming present, both of us. Because I think his talking is avoiding where we need to go, filling his space with what he wants to do and what he can do and what he has done, all that stuff. And I think we're missing the kernel, and that sometimes happens to me too. Okay, so what else?
So I can tell you now as a client what the best piece for me is, that you help me dig out my own script, words, descriptors that are someplace inside of me, but I haven't been able to access them.
Mm.
And also you being able to reflect what I just said. It's like, yeah, that's it, exactly. I don't even need to
yeah.
add anything to it. You got it.
Yeah, yeah. I think I evoked it from you. I didn't say it for you, but if I opened the door, you certainly had beautiful words and phrases come out that I said, that's it. Say that. Yeah, great. Wonderful. So you had a couple of ahas and some goosey bump moments, and so that sounds good.
It was great.
Okay.
And the one piece that I haven't said yet is thank you to you for what you did during this demonstration. It was a gift to me.
Oh, well, thank you. It's always a gift to me to have these conversations, but I certainly appreciate the appreciation. It's wonderful. And I will make you this deal too, Iris, because I don't think you can ever have even if you were not sure you were going to hire me, but since this is a demo for an LCT, please write me some sort of follow-up with how this has gone. And if you want to have another brief coaching call, I certainly offer that to you. So you can write me at pat@lifecoachtraining.com.
Great. Thank
you. Will
you
do that? Okay. So a couple questions that people sent in, and we'll see in the minutes left if we have some. People want to know choice of approach with a coachee, techniques used, and why. You know, I never know in a moment. It's not like I have a list of techniques. This is like driving I can't say it's like driving a Lamborghini because I've never driven one. So it's like driving a really nice car, not when you took driver's ed at age 15 or 16, but after you become a good driver. And you're ready to drive a more powerful or more smoothly operated machine, just get in and drive it. You already have all the skills. You already know what you're doing. So the techniques that you learn at ILCT and that you learn through reading and you learn through practice, learn them, theory, apply it. But when you're ready to coach, just coach. Now, a word of wisdom, if you're beginning and you're still learning or you want to improve what you're doing, see if your client will give you permission to tape record the session, even if you only tape record your half. Because you'll remember the session, but you'll be able to hear yourself. And just for the sake of learning, listen back or watch it back and see what you do differently or what you do better. Another thing is people ask, how do you determine the effectiveness of a coaching session? Well, I ask the client. And I think early on in your coaching career, you should ask every time. I mean, I think I asked her, what was helpful about today? What are you taking away? You can even go a step further if you think you're learning and you want to get more competent, and that is to say, what was most helpful about the way in which I coached you, and what's something you would have liked to have had different? Now, they may say nothing, it was great, or they may say something, oh, that's very helpful, thank you. You know, for instance, with you, this is real time. I said, you know, I really apologize. We had the phone cut out a couple of times. That was distracting, but I'm glad we were able to hang in there and didn't have that. If you get a distraction like that, I offer the client extra minutes so we do it again. Don't ever be rushed. Make sure you have the time to be with the client. And what are 3 most important features of a good coaching session? Oh, that's a good question. I think for me to feel energized, I mean, my wife learned years ago, when I coach somebody, I came out energized. When I came home from doing psychotherapy, I seemed to be drained. So I think if I feel energized from the conversation, it was good. Not because I feel good about what I did, like, oh, pat myself on the back, but I feel energized by what I heard from my client and what they learned about themselves, because that's my goal, to really be of service for this client, discovering brilliance, uniqueness, opportunity, steps to improvement, betterment, whatever. So I feel good about that. I think another thing that is a mark is if the client says so. You know, if they said that was helpful, they had some ahas like Iris did. And what would be a third one? That they had some real doable takeaways. It wasn't just, you know, muddled and unclear, like, yeah, good luck with that. No, it's not that. It's like there's really some congruent and doable steps that they agreed to. Okay, anybody out there in the audience have a question you want to do? *6, unmute yourself and ask a question.
Yes, a question. I mean, this session went was very powerful.
Okay.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Yes, this is Steve from Indy. And most sessions don't, I mean, the breakthrough there was very powerful. And you could hear it in your voice and that sort of thing. Many times in coaching sessions, the way I'm experiencing it, is it's more subtle. Sometimes there's some breakthroughs. I guess my question is, at what point do you ask for referrals, or do you just allow them to come naturally, or, I mean, to develop the business?
Wow, your voice was cutting in and out, but I think I heard you say that sometimes there's not always those big breakthroughs. At what time do you ask for a referral, or is that what I heard?
Yeah.
Do you ask them for a referral, or do you ask if they want a referral?
Right, ask them for referrals for the business, or do you even go there with that, or do you just allow it to come naturally as the coaching goes on?
Oh, you mean that they might refer other friends and colleagues to you?
Yes.
Yeah, I don't think you'd want to do that in an overly promotional way, but that is a very smart way of marketing. If you work with a client for a while, so not one time, because you don't want to make it, hey, thanks, do you know anyone else that want to buy a Toyota? It's not that sort of thing. It's after a while with your clients, it's perfectly okay to say, you know, I really enjoy working with you. You put in, you know, good effort. I love the breakthrough you just had. And I'll just say, if there's more of you somewhere, let me know. Because, I mean, I love working with clients like you who are up to big things and ready to move. And that's all you need to say. Don't be saying, if you refer somebody to me, I'll give you 10% of the fee. That's not ethical, you know, that kind of stuff. But it's perfectly okay to ask for your raving fans to think of somebody else that might benefit from your coaching. Is that helpful?
Yes.
Okay, so do you have anybody you might refer to me? No, I'm just kidding. Okay. So anybody else, question or comment?
Yes, I do have a question. I noticed during the session that once Iris, I believe, arrived at her first aha, you could have stopped right there and said, oh, that's great. What made you decide to continue the questioning?
Oh, I always think there's more. I mean, it's just not enough to say, oh, great, you're done. I mean, you know, there's always more. So good coaching questions might be, tell me more, what else? You know, would you say some more about that? Because I think that that's just the beginning. It's like a door open for her, and I think it can probably open wider.
Okay.
So that's just my style. Now, some of you have heard me teach the class on using metaphors. You know, metaphors are a part of direct communication, and the ICF core competencies. And I like to work like that. I don't think we had any mentioned in here with her. I just used one called opening the door. I could have gone with her advance at the end, but I think you have an opportunity with a client when you have a longer session to listen for their metaphors. Don't make one up for them. But you can ask things like, and if this were a metaphor, or if you think about this challenge, it's like what? And then they may say something that's metaphorical. It's like I'm in a tunnel and I can't get out, or it's like, you know, whatever it is. And then you have an opportunity where the picture's worth a thousand words to go that route with some questions. Kind of advanced skill, but it's a fun part of coaching. I use it often.
Yes, I picked up on that, and that's something that I'm going to be very, very cognizant of going forward.
Good. Great. We had somebody ask a question specifically about couples, and I don't know how many of you might work with couples, but somebody wrote in, I have difficulty keeping coaching sessions to 30 or 45 minutes, especially with couples. What are some tips for allowing the client to feel unhurried while keeping to the time frame? You know, I think 30 minutes with a couple is not enough. I mean, when you've got a third energy in the room, it's just not enough. So if you're going to do couples work, I think you might, your fee might be a little bigger, and you do at least 45 minutes or 50 minutes. Just count on that so that everybody can feel heard and there's a triad of a conversation that you need to manage. So I think people would understand if individual fees are blank per hour, working with a couple might be 20% more or something, and you grant more time. Somebody else asked a question about what if your client wants something different in their life but they have no interest and don't want to do anything? Well, first of all, everybody does have interest and they want to do something. They just don't know it yet, some people. But that's what I love to say. I mean, first of all, you got to have somebody that's coachable, right? They're motivated, they want it. So maybe they don't know. So the task of the coaching call is say, well, if there's something you were really excited about, something that you really like to have happen, you know, maybe it's that miracle question of if there's one thing that would be different tomorrow, if I told you a miracle would happen tonight, what would be different? Would you wake up and feel, see, or hear differently? Now, I don't know. Well, then you can say, well, if there's a part of you that did know, what would that part say? And then if they can't go further than that, you may say they're not ready for coaching. Well, how can I assist you? What is it you want to be different in your life? And just see, because sometimes the not knowing is a cover-up. And then somebody says, I'd like to know how to explain my coaching system to a client. Well, I actually did that. And you know, you're going to learn ways that ILCT and ICF core competencies and description of coaching. Be sure to let the client know, both in writing in your welcome packet and also in the first session, what they can expect from you, how you coach, what you expect from them. Like if I ever say anything that steps on you or is heard the wrong way or lands wrongly, it's never my intent, so please tell me right away. You know, I expect you to help me make these times together as helpful for you as possible. It's not to be helpful for me. So that sort of language. And lastly, somebody says, I have a few clients who do not do prep forms and also do not know where they want to focus. I ask a few questions and try to clarify and often pick up from a previous session, but it feels like my agenda. Any tips? The prep form is such a great idea that we teach you, and yet most entrepreneurs and busy professionals never fill it out. So what I ask them to do is, if you're not going to complete it, I want you to know that the core of the coaching session will be in that format. What have you accomplished since we last met? What challenges are there? And what do you want to use the coaching for today? Followed at the end by, what are you going to put into practice this week that you're going to do differently? So that's required for me. That is the beginning and the middle and the end of a coaching session for me. Clarifying what they want, getting understood about that, the middle part of possibility thinking and evoking new thoughts, asking lots of powerful questions, exploring, being curious, and then moving to the last, you know, about 10 minutes before your time is up, where you start to say, well, let's look at what you learned from today and what you're going to put into practice this week based on our conversation. So it's their responsibility. It may be your responsibility to hold the agenda, but it's not your responsibility to create the agenda. Okay? So we're at the top of the hour. I hope this has been helpful for those who participated. Iris, thank you for your willingness to do this. I'm glad it was helpful.
Thank you.
Please do let me know how things go. I meant that, so I expect to hear from you. And for the rest of you, you may write some comments. You can write on the ILCP blog, or you can write me, and we hope it was helpful. So thank you all very much.
It was great. Thank you. Bye.
Welcome.